Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
No, Central African time. I'm coming to you live from a cloudy, wet Durban. Yes, this morning I've been cleaning my fish pond. I've fed my roosters, my chickens, and I also fed the cats, people. Also, I'm in city. Maybe I'll tell Adam what I had. I had lovely Majdul dates with a falooda, a tiny falooda, Adam, and then I drank some water. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Professor of the ocean, hiding this morning, and we like your motion. Hiding, Adam. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Shafat. Yes, fantastic morning. I'm in the Durban harbor at the moment, on my boat, floating at the center banks with my good friend, Skull Gordon. The last time we were on air with you, Shafat, while we were on air, you hooked a Springer. This morning, the bike is a bit slow. We haven't had a hookup yet. So, inshallah, with this call, maybe you'll bring us some luck and we'll get on with the nice Springer, Shafat.
Okay, I heard that brother telling me you're a big fan and you're a very close buddy. Vizy, yes, Vizy. Vizy says, please tell Adam, read your cools, your three cools, and you'll get a pool. You heard that, Adam? You read your three cools, and you'll get a pool now.
The dua we make on board is, Allah, please give my friend the biggest fish. And with his mercy, he actually gives you the biggest fish.
I tell you, that is selfless. That is a beautiful camaraderie. I mean, you're looking at the weather. It's overcast. It was raining. Very slight drizzle this morning. But, you know, then I also see that the sea hazardous storms coming through. But then I look at the weather. Latest is 22 degrees, you know, and it's cloudy. So the forecast for the rest of the day in the harbor, what is it, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, I follow Wind Guru on the internet, and I find them fairly accurate. So for today, they've shown various levels of cloud cover from low level, mid level, and high level. So obviously, the low level gives us a bit of rain, which was a little bit of drizzle just before sunrise. But the rain has dissipated. It's lovely, cool morning. We saw the sun come up. Now it's hiding behind the clouds. So perfect weather for fishing. They forecast northeasterly winds. It'll build up to about 15 knots. At the moment, it's already blowing about 7 knots. So it's giving us a nice drift along the center bank. So really, our conditions, Shafat, all we need now is for the fish to cooperate.
Well, as you say, all it needs now is the fish to cooperate. But, you know, if you look at this type of river, what type of bait is popular with the fish, you know, especially in the morning? Do they prepare, you know, maybe live baits or, you know, things like that? Adam, talk to us.
Yes, Shafat, the most common bait they use in the harbor is sardine bait. You know, it's got a good, I would say, smell, but nice fragrance for the fish. The fish often feed by sight and smell. So if you cut a nice strip of sardine fillet and put that onto your trays and put just a little bit of cotton to hold it in place, there's a good run of salmon going on at the moment in the harbor and on backline. But we are not using baits at the moment, Shafat. We're using artificial lures, soft baits, the McCarthy soft baits. So we're trying a color called the bronze back and the river prawn, which has proved very popular in rivers and estuaries. Drop shot fishing is a new facet for me. I haven't had much experience with it, but Skalk really is the expert in bass fishing and using all those skills here in the harbor. He's caught some huge salmon, some huge grunter, and I'm learning a lot from him at the moment, Shafat.
Well, alhamdulillah, as you said, you have like a teacher on board also. You know, they say knowledge, you know, we say Rabbi, Zidni, Ilma, like these are the knowledge. But there's no end to learning, you know, and the knowledge right from the cradle to the grave, you're learning. And, you know, the moment you think you have arrived, that's the time that you, you know, fall short, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, and that's the lure of fishing, Shafat. You know, what makes it interesting for fishermen is that there's always something new coming out, whether it's a new grade, a new reel, a new rod, a new type of trace, even a new knot or a different type of bait or new colors of lures. Everything is being, advanced and invented as we go. So it's really exciting, and once you think you've mastered one facet of fishing, then they develop a new style of fishing, and that, you know, it's like it's like you're discovering a new hobby from scratch, and it's really exciting to try a new facet and to become successful and start catching fish on all different types of tackle and different styles of fishing, Shafarat.
You know, something when I talked to fishermen, one of them spoke to me about the striped marlin, and you know, it shows off its unique hunting ability, and it's also, I believe it's a billed fish, B-I-L-L-E-D, and it's a type of fish that gives you a powerful fight, Adam. How true is that?
Yes, Shafad, all the billfish are the pinnacle of every fisherman's dream. So the billfish would include your blue marlin, black marlin, white marlin, striped marlin, and sailfish as well, Shafad. And you know what? Strangely enough, these fish can be caught right here off Durban. You don't have to go very far. Often they come to the number one grounds where we normally fish, and they come and feed on bonitos and mass bunkers and whatever bait fish is lurking around the number one area. So usually when fishermen put out their baits for kuta in that area, they often hook a sailfish or a marlin, Shafad.
Now, Adam, you know, we find all these vivid monkeys are coming to the ocean. And, you know, sometimes it's amazing. I mean, this is a question on the screen from Hamid. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafa'at. Please ask Adam Kamda what the vivid monkeys do at the ocean sometimes early in the morning. Are they fishing also with their hands? A very good question. You know, I think they may be eating all the shellfish and so forth. What do they do there, Adam, and how do you respond to Hamid?
Yes, Shafa'at, you know, you'd see the monkeys running around in the bushes, in the jungles, climbing trees. You wouldn't normally associate monkeys and the ocean or monkeys and water. I haven't personally seen them frolicking around the beaches, but I have seen some amazing video footage on social media of monkeys really enjoying the water. This is probably in a hot area. They probably came to the water to cool off. Jumping in and swimming from end to end underwater, looking really at home. And you wouldn't think that. Normally you think like furry animals would shy away from water because, you know, it'll make them cold, or they may not even know how to swim, how to hold their breath. But from the adults to the little juveniles, you find them, you know, really submersing themselves in the water, holding their breath, and being so natural underwater, Shafa'at. Just playing around, pushing each other into the water, jumping from high trees into the water, and they're really at home. So as much as they are land animals, but they're very comfortable at sea as well.
People, Adam Kamda is live in the Durban Harbour, and you're getting a beautiful broadcast coming there, crystal clear. His duas are on board and everything, and he's wishing his friend there, may he catch the bigger fish, and hoping that Adam's going to land something. As soon as he lands it live on air, people, make some duas that Adam will land a big grunter or something like that. Adam, another question here from Tariq. He says, I have heard of sea hunt boats. What is this? And you have tournaments. How are the fishing tournaments going thus far? It seems like, you know, when we are lighties, we used to have our own tournaments and go and catch fish at Rivermouth. Adam, a great chat with Brother Shafa'at. Keep it up. Adam, how do you respond to Tariq?
Yes, Shafa'at, throughout the year, there's many different fishing tournaments that are organized. Just recently, there was a kuta competition in Amshlanga, which went off very well. The Durban Ski Boat Festival also, the main target is kuta and tuna, and it's one of the biggest offshore competitions in the world, attracting up to 400 boats and up to about 1,000 anglers. So really, you know, quite a big event. And being held every year, they've really got it down to a fine art, with really amazing prizes, up to R1 million in prizes, and very well organized at the Ski Boat Club, with functions the night before the competition starts, and the competition runs over 2 fishing days, and then the prize giving on the second day. So KZN is really well known for huge offshore competitions. And then you also have competitions in the Durban Harbour, which usually is organized by all the various fishing clubs based in the harbour, Shafa'at.
A lot of messages coming through, and this one is from Imran. He says, Assalamu alaikum. Adam, I remember many years ago when my dad used to take me to the South Pier. May Allah fill his qabr with noor. He made a parda about 5 years ago. And he says that we used to land a lot of blacktails, several bonito, rockhogs, and many other types of fish. How are these fishes? Are they still surviving? Especially, I remember the blacktail. Hey, when we caught a blacktail, and said, another blacktail. But was it a tasty fish, Adam? Adam, how do you respond?
Yes, Shafat, blacktails are very sought after, very good fish to fry. I agree with the listener that fishing used to be quite prolific in those days. My dad used to tell me about the times when they used to fish on South Pier, and even when they were out of bait, they'll use that foil from the inside of a cigarette pack on their hook, and they will still continue catching fish apart. And fishing has become a little more difficult as the years went by due to various factors with pollution, etc. But I'd like to report something really positive, Shafat, is that in the months, the recent months, we've noticed a real increase in fish activity in the harbor as well as offshore. I've never seen so many bonitos in all my years of fishing. This summer season was really amazing for bonitos. And besides bonitos, we are seeing lots of shark activity, lots of bait fish activity. The last time we went out, Lionel videoed some of the red-eye sardines, and he describes it as millions of sardines all around the boat. You can find that video on YouTube on Fishing Durban, Shafat. So if any of the listeners are keen to share in the action of the fish that we caught, as well as looking at the amazing environment with all the bait fish action, it's there uploaded already on YouTube on Fishing Durban, Shafat.
Looking at a message from Yusuf, he says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's Ramadan, brothers, and I really enjoy Adam Canada no matter what season it is. Alhamdulillah, great show, great chat, brother chef. Please ask Adam if he stocks bloodworms. I have a lovely pond, I have quite a few fish there. Can I give them a bloodworm bought from Adam, or can I just buy the red eye sardines, chop them up, and feed my fish in my pond? Adam, how do you respond to Yusuf?
Yes, Shafat, bloodworm is actually not allowed in KZN. You're not allowed to harvest fresh bloodworm from the banks. But there was a company that developed a dehydrated bloodworm, which I think was imported from Australia. So that comes in a dehydrated form. You just soak it in some water, and it plumps itself up ready to put on your hook and fish with. But I think that would be very expensive to actually feed these fish in his pond. There are many ready fish feeds that you can buy, Shafat. My good friend Reinhard Duplessis is an expert in pond fish, in building ponds, and he specializes in koi. So if you look him up on Facebook, Reinhard Duplessis, he'll be able to advise you the best feed, the most cost-effective feed for the fish in your pond, Shafat.
Well, alhamdulillah, well said there. And as you say, a lot of people get into pond keeping and so forth. But it's quite an expensive hobby, Adam. You have to get the filtration right, and then you have to clean it all the time, and running of the electricity. What's your thoughts on it?
Yes, Shafat, like with any hobby, you must be passionate about it. So those guys that are passionate about koi, etc., they would have collectors type of fish in their pond, and it'll be a real pride and joy for them to keep that pond in the best of health, monitoring the water, having the right pumps, having the right filtration systems. And with anything, if you have the right equipment, then your maintenance is that much lower. If you're just experimenting, then it could be quite a costly exercise, where you keep buying fish, stocking your pond, and they're not really surviving. But once your pond is set up and established, Shafat, it's just a matter of minor maintenance, weekly or monthly. And you can really have a beautiful feature in your home with a beautiful koi pond, lovely koi swimming around, and really, at one with nature, Shafat.
Naeem says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda. Don't worry, you'll get your fish. Maybe after the show, you get a double size. Adam, what happens if you catch a fish that cannot fit in your boat? Do you let it go, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, that's also another wish of every angler, is to catch a fish bigger than his fish hatch. And I saw a picture just a couple of days ago of my good friend Nick from Natal Power Boats. They are fishing in Mozambique, and he had this huge wahoo splayed on his deck and showing off that the tail was sticking out beyond the hatch, Shafat. So that's always a dream of anglers, to catch a fish that's bigger than the hatch. But our ambition is not so big for today, Shafat. And even if we don't get a pull, even if we don't get fish, it's just a matter of enjoying some quiet time, floating around, chatting with friends. I've got Skalp here to keep me company. We'll crack a few jokes. I'll practice my Afrikaans with him and really have a good time. But inshallah, we will get a few pulls. Skalp is known for having good luck with fishing. So he's my lucky charm here. Maybe he'll bring the fish to the boat, Shafat.
This is a question here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, and he's from Osman. He says, I want to know from Adam, how many ocean twilight zone fish did he catch? I know some people sometimes fluke some of these twilight zone fish. What are these twilight zone fish he's talking about, Adam?
Yeah, he's probably talking about unexpected species, Shafat. And this is what happens when the guys, for example, like when it comes to marlin fishing, you know, you could really target marlin. As I said, it's the pinnacle of fishing for every deep sea angler, where you invest in a boat that's worth maybe 2 million rand, your tackle is worth like 300,000 rand, and you dedicate like 2 or 3 days consecutively trawling out really out in the deep, looking for that deep blue water, and using outriggers and all manner of equipment to really target these marlin. And even with all that investment, you may not be successful. So I think this twilight fish he's talking about is, for example, an angler just humbly trying for kuta here at number one, and hooking into a sailfish or a marlin and really fighting it on light tackle compared to what you would normally use to target marlin, and actually being successful by bringing the marlin to the boat, Shafar.
JazakAllah for that. Fadil says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda. You are a living legend. Talk to me about the live gingers. We used to get them a lot when we were lighties. Kanna used to bring it and sell it at 10 rand a parcel. Are there live gingers still around, and how much a parcel, Adam? That's a good one, Adam.
Yes, Shafat. Ginger shrimps was also a really prized bait to use to catch grunters, etc. And I remember from my dad's days, he used to say that they actually used to draw numbers. There used to be such a big crowd waiting for the ginger shrimps, and the netters come to the shore. And even if you get one parcel, you are guaranteed to catch like at least 5 or 10 grunters with that one parcel of gingers. The ginger license has been passed down from generation to generation. And as the years have gone by, Shafat, most of the younger generation have shied away from it and have not taken over the license from their dads or their grandfathers. There are one or two still operating, and they do provide live gingers, but that's pretty much a dying art. And if you can get your hands on some live gingers, you definitely will have a better chance of catching some good grunter in the bay.
Mohammed says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda. Lekker day for fishing in the Durban Harbour. Maybe a little later we will come there and worry you with our small boats. He says, explain this to the listeners. It doesn't matter how long it takes you to fish. It doesn't matter whether your rod is bending or it's straight. But what matters is that you're having a lovely time in the Durban Harbour. Well, he wants you to explain it to us. Doesn't matter if your rod is bent or straight, but the main thing is you're having a nice time relaxing, Adam. Talk to me about that phenomena and explain it.
Yes, Shafat, even if you have a difficult day on the water in terms of not getting many bites, but when you go back home, you still feel fulfilled that you had a lovely day out on a boat, puttering around, enjoying watching the sun come up, trying to get some photos of the birds. There's so much happening around you. It's so much to do. It really is satisfying, Shafat.
What happens with the, you know, you get this 10-foot rod and you get this ball reel, and are these all, you know, when I was growing up, this is what I used to see, the Kalus and the Chachas, you know, they casting into the Indian Ocean there and, you know, reeling. Has all the change, have these tackles or these reels or not become obsolete, the 10-foot or 10-feet rod and so forth, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, the KP reel, also known as Scarborough or ball race, it's quite an art to cast it in the surf, and it's mostly the older folk that have mastered it and can really outfish a youngster with a coffee grinder using that ball race. It's basically a one-to-one ratio when you're turning the reel and fighting the fish, so it's really a direct connection with the fish. Coffee grinders and multipliers, they have multiplying gears, so for each turn of the handle, the spool actually turns much more. So it gives the angler a little bit of leverage or advantage. But the KP reel still holds its own, whether it's in the surf, but especially deep sea. A lot of the bottom fishermen deep sea still swear by a KP reel set up with an 8-foot deep sea rod and a heavy sinker and like maybe a 3 or 4 hook trace. Nothing can beat the KP in you know, pulling up really big monsters of the deep from bottom fishing so far.
Alhamdulillah, you know, and yesterday, perhaps the fishermen were more muscular, Adam?
It's not a question of muscle, Shafar. You know, you can take a bodybuilder out to sea and put him onto a big fish, and the fish will really tire him out and really work him out. It's a matter of using the tackle, using the drag. You set the drag so that when the fish is pulling line, the fish is exerting itself. So you let the fish swim away, pulling drag, and then when it's tired, then you reel it in closer to the boat, and then the fish, like, gathers its breath and then gets another wind and swims away again. So you do this a few times until you wear the fish out, and then you bring it closer to the boat to either net or to gaff, Shafar. So it's not just a matter of physical strength of the fisherman to be able to reel it in. It's a lot of brain power and a lot of technique involved, using your equipment to your advantage to land even huge fish. And what a lot of beginners don't understand is, how can you land, like, for example, a 50-kilo tuna on 10-kilo line? You know, it seems like something impossible, because if you exert more than 10-kilo pressure on the line, it's going to snap. So how do you manage to subdue a 50-kilo fish? And it comes back to the technique and using your tackle and using the drag effectively on your reel, Shafar.
Brother Hanif says, a great chat indeed, Bru Chef. Please ask Adam Kanda, what is his favorite fishing spot? Hey, he wants to know your secret, Adam.
Yes, Shafar, there's no secret. I love to share whatever information I have. Most anglers, especially deep sea anglers, have waypoints which they are very secretive of. They find a good spot and they will never share it with anyone. On my last trip, when we caught Natal snook, it was between the stadium and the Blue Lagoon, the Amgeni River mouth. I marked the spot on my fish finder. I took a picture and I actually published it to Facebook for everyone to see. And I invited them to come over and come and fish on that spot, where we hooked 3 Natal snook within a matter of 5 minutes, Shafar. So I'm quite free with knowledge, and that's why I'm quite active on social media. I've partnered up with other websites like WR Fishing and Fishing Durban. They often document the fishing sessions, so people that are landbound can still participate. They can fish virtually. You can call it armchair fishing when you're sitting at home, logged on to these channels and watch these programs, Shafar.
Rafiq says, Assalamu alaikum. Adam Kamra, we really enjoy you. I listen to your show every day, every weekend here from Kaoting. You sound such a good guy. Is your uncle also that Mr. Gunny that has a big tackle shop here in our Kaoting region? He's also such a wonderful, lovely man. Yes, sir, he is Adam's. Adam, you're related to Gunny. I believe he's your uncle or your cousin. I'm not too sure.
Yes, that's Hussein Ghani, a really lovable guy. Anyone who meets him, you know, really takes to him. And, you know, he's really down to earth and easy to get along with. And so he's really popular with all his customers. And I think he's developed all his customers to be friends. Also very successful angler. He's an expert at freshwater fishing, bass fishing in particular. But he caters for all facets of fishing, because a lot of the guys from upcountry will shop by him for deep sea tackle before they go to Mozambique, Shafar. A lot of the guys in Joburg, etc., have boats, and they organize trips once a year to go fish in places like Ponta do Ouro and Inhambane. So they stop by Hussein Ghani at Ghani's Angling and stock up with all the new tackle, all the new types of lures to target wahoo and kuta and tuna, Shafar. So he's really popular in that part of the country.
Now, I recall talking to Hussein Ghani. You know, he's a sponsor show on CIR Radio, and we did a lot of fishing chats there too. And that's how I got to know you, Adam. I think Hussein gave me your number, and you stood in a few times at him. But then he used to talk about the bomb. When they said bomb, I said, hey, what bomb you using? And you say the bomb that they use in the dams and the lakes and so forth. Now, what happens if you use the same bomb in the Devon Harbour? Will you catch any fish there, Adam?
Yes, what you're talking about is a millibomb, Shafat. It's like a in a packet, in a dry form. Like it looks like a powder. So you mix it with a bit of water, and it comes to the consistency of a dough. And then you would take this and squeeze it over a type of spring that's attached to your trace. So when you cast this out, that millibomb basically dissolves in the water. And it spreads out. It forms a little feeding ground so the carp and other fish can come and feed on that. And in the middle of that, you'd have your mealies, a whole mealy on a hook that's part of your trace. So as these fish come to feed on what you've thrown into the water, the mealy bomb, it will find your mealy on your hook and you'll get a bite and you can land that fish. And fishing is a creative thing, Shafat. I know of anglers who've purchased this type of feed and have actually fished from the side in the harbor where they keep throwing this out and they call it grazing the fish. So it's almost like a chum and it brings fish, into a feeding mode and brings them closer to the spot that you are fishing. And then they would flick out their fillet of sardine into that area where the fish are now coming to feed on that millibomb and then they become successful anglers, Shepard.
Well, Adam, I know that you're fasting and fishing. How's it resonating with you this morning, your fast and your fishing?
Yes, Shafat, at the beginning of Ramzan, I said to myself, you know what, I'm not going to fish this Ramzan. I'm just going to take it easy. Sunday is my off day. I'll just rest it out. But then you get the itch and you get the urge. And I said to myself, okay, I'll fish for a couple hours. So this morning we plan to fish from 6 a.m. till 10 a.m. It's just 4 hours and then I can go home and rest. And I'm not really exerting myself too much. We're not going deep sea fishing. We're just fishing here in the harbor. It's very relaxing, and Allah's blessed us with a lovely cool day, overcast day, so we're not even getting sunburned. We're not feeling thirsty. It's really such an amazing way to start the day, Shafat.
I tell you, it was so amazing. Not one break did we have. It was a clear, crystal broadcast. And you brought the tranquility of Durban Harbour right into the studios. Nay, you have brought it to the four corners of the globe. Over this morning, the hit here, it shows over 2,000. No. What's that, Boniface? 2 million listeners across the globe listening to you this morning. And you've taken the message there. I don't know. We didn't talk about iftar recipe. But if you do have one, you can give us, or you can give us your parting words this morning, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, I've got a short recipe prepared for you today. It's called sausage and egg breakfast cups. So you can use this for Seri. It serves six. These egg muffins make a hearty breakfast, so as I said, perfect for Seri. The ingredients would be 100 grams cooked sausage, chopped up, half a green bell pepper, chopped, quarter onion, chopped, 5 large eggs, 150 grams sliced mushroom, a handful of cherry tomatoes halved, and half a cup grated cheddar cheese. The method is quite simple, Shafat. You preheat your oven to 180 degrees. You coat a 6-cup nonstick muffin pan with some spray and cook, or even some melted butter if you need to. Then in a pan over medium-high heat, you cook your onions, peppers, and mushrooms for about 5 minutes. Let this cool a bit and spoon it into a dish. You stir in your eggs, tomatoes, and sausage. Season this with whatever spices you like, salt, pepper, chili powder. And then you evenly divide the mixture among the prepared muffin pan and bake it in the oven for about 20 minutes or until the egg is set. This can be served immediately, or you can even prepare it ahead of time and just reheat it for Seri, Shafat. And there you have it, sausage and egg breakfast cup.
Hey, I tell you, it's egg standing that. I will try it tomorrow. I'm definitely going to try it. Adam, did your comrade on board, did he catch a fish yet?
Oh, not yet, Shafat. I want to put the phone down. I'm going to have a few casts and give it our best shot and maybe move around and try a few different spots. We are in the area called Royal Zulu at the moment. We drifted along the entire center bank. We're coming near Royal Zulu, which is very famous for flatfish or gurnards. And before I leave, Shafat, I'd just like to share that, while waiting for the bite, I took some amazing photos. There are two lovely cruise liners in the harbor at the moment. So I'll post one of the pictures with two seagulls in the air with the cruise line in the background. I'll post it to my profile after the show. And if anyone's interested, if the listeners are keen, or if you are keen, you can log on to Facebook and just look under my name, and you'll see the beautiful photo. Lovely, tranquil scene that you mentioned earlier of being floating in the harbor, Shafat.
Well, a beautiful message from a beautiful man and a fit Adam Kamda from live from Durban Harbour. Adam, you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, and all the best for Ramzan to you and the listeners. Salam to you and the listeners.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam to Adam Kamda.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.